Amen. How great is our God? Isn't your God great? Amen. Amen. If your God's not great, you need to get another God. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Get the God of the Bible. Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning, church, to the epistle of 2 Timothy. You have 1st and then 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. As you're turning, let me say hello and welcome back to Shay Brown. It's good to see you, my sister. She had surgery recently and is on the recovery mode, and she's doing great. It's sure good to see you today, and you're looking well. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Is everybody there? Everybody comfortable? Somebody say yes.
Yes.
There you go. All right. How many are not comfortable? Say, I'm not comfortable. How can I help you? Usher, take her out of here and get her comfortable. We'll get you comfortable. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Wasn't that funny? Look at verse number 19 with me, would you? We're going to finish up our series of messages this morning that we've been talking about, discipleship, right? We've been on this theme here for the month of October, and I pray it's been a help to you. Shared some things from the perspective of Jesus himself. You know, he laid out the foundation as to what it means to be one of his disciples, one of his followers, right? And then we took some time to really hunker down and see what it means to follow him. Well, I want to finish it up this morning with this text of Scripture. Look at verse 19. I'm in 2 Timothy 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now listen to this. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Take that in for a second. Take that in for a second. Let me ask you this. What do you think that means? Now, no response, please. What do you think that means? Look at it again. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let me ask you this. Do you think that means what you think that means? He coughed right in the middle of that statement. He chose the worst time to cough. Don't ever cough again in the middle of my statement. Do you think that means what you think that means? Look at it again. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Take that in for a second. You know, sometimes we read some of these statements in the Bible and we don't realize how profound they are, and we just read over them. But I want to pause for a moment this morning and take that in and just kind of absorb the idea as to what he's speaking about here. Paul's speaking to the New Testament church. Of course, he's writing to Timothy, but to us as well. This is the Word of God, inspired by God for you and I. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'm not sure about you, but I name the name of Christ. I consider myself a Christian. I consider myself a believer. I know I've been born again. I know I belong to him. I've been adopted into his family. I'm one of his children. I name the name of Christ. So the Bible says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Notice it also says this, same verse, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I like that. Huh? The other one shakes me up. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That shakes me up. It ought to shake you up. But I like it when it says the Lord knows, he knows them that are his. The Lord knows me. The Lord knows you. Huh? Do you believe the Lord knows you today? That's a great passage of Scripture. And from that text, or from that thought, I should say, from that truth, Paul takes it to another level. Look in verse number 22. We're going to come back and fill in the blanks, but look at verse 22. Paul, speaking again, he says this, flee also youthful lust, but follow, look at this list, righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure conscience. Are you with me? Huh? Pure heart, same thing. Same thing. Follow after. So Paul gives this instruction to Timothy. The instruction to Timothy is this, and I want you to notice the sequence. He says in verse number 22, flee, say it with me, flee, flee, also youthful lust, flee, say it, flee. And then he said, what? Follow, follow. And then he gives this list, right? We call it sometimes a shopping list. He gives this list of items that Timothy or you and I were to follow. And we're talking here about discipleship. And discipleship is when you and I decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Are you with me this morning? You're real quiet. We decide on our own. We make a willful decision that we're going to follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. And we agree and say, okay, Lord, I'm in. Wherever you lead, I will follow. Amen. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? We're trying to put some meat on that bone. And Paul says here in this text of Scripture to Timothy, you need to flee youthful lust and follow, and then he gives that list. Right? And you know what Paul's doing here? He's following a pattern, because the sequence is important. He said, flee and follow. You see the screen there, right? Flee and follow. The sequence is important. In fact, the sequence is biblical. In Romans chapter number 12, I like this text of Scripture. Put it on the screen, guys. In verse number 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. And the best way I can define that word, dissimulation, is hypocrisy. Don't let your love be hypocritical. Don't let your love be in word only. Don't let your word be. Don't let your love be something that is superficial, hypocritical, right? It needs to be genuine. Let love be without dissimulation. And he follows it up with, let's read it together, nice and loud. You ready? Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Right? Same thing. Paul says, if you're going to follow the Lord, you must first flee what? Youthful lust, right? Abhor, I look at it this way. If you're going to follow the Lord, pay attention to this statement, you must flee that which will defile you. Take it in for a second. Take that in for a second. If you're going to follow him, if you're going to be genuine and serious about following him, there are some things you're going to have to flee. And I like this. Before you could cleave, you need to leave. In fact, we read that way back in Genesis chapter number 2, when the Lord was giving instruction to the first couple, right? Adam and Eve. Remember? He said this, that, you know, now here's what I need you to do, because I want to bring you together as one. And in order to become one, you need to first leave what? Your mother and your father, right? The comforts of home. And then you need to cleave unto who? Your husband or your wife, so that you can become one. We often say this in a wedding ceremony. You leave, you cleave, and then you weave. You weave, you know, you become one. You're woven together, right? And so there's a pattern here. Before you could cleave, before you could follow, Paul says you must first flee those youthful lusts. Let me talk about that just for a moment, because it's an important pattern here. In fact, flip back just a page. For me, it's just a page. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. The Bible says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. You say, what things? Well, you have to go back and read the verses prior. And he's talking about hurtful lust and things of that nature there. Love of money, which is the root of all evil. Right? Chapter number 6, you read that for yourself. He says, flee these things and follow after. And then again, he gives them a list of things to follow after. Right? But let's talk about that flee for a moment. The idea of what Paul's speaking about when it comes to flee. Simple instruction. In fact, I think what he's saying is simply this. You need to be prepared to just run away from some things. Because that word flee simply means to want to run away from. How many of us would say, oh, boy, Pastor, I'll tell you right now, I got a list of things that I like to run away from. Amen. Huh? But it's not what you would want to run away from here. It's what you ought to run away from. Paul's saying this, there are some things that you need to be willing to flee, because those things, if you don't flee from them, will defile you. And so we must be willing to flee or run away from some things that will hurt us, defile us. And here he mentions this, he's real pointed, he mentions youthful lusts. Youthful lusts. Now we can go a lot of different directions with that, right? What are youthful lusts? Well, let me just kind of narrow it down. And I think maybe what he's saying, the idea, is that a mature Christian has overcome the sins that so easily beset him. Did you get that? That would almost be Bible study material. Right? Paul says this, if you're going to follow the Lord, Timothy, if you're going to follow the Lord, church, you need to first flee from youthful lust, or you need to flee from the things that used to easily beset you. The idea is this, Paul is trying to say, he's trying to make an assumption, I guess, maybe that we've come to some level of maturity in our lives. We've had some growth. How many of us Christians would say, Pastor, I've had some growth. I've grown in some areas of my life. I hope so. We should have. And so the assumption is this, that if we have grown in the Lord, we have enough growth that will help us to flee. Does that make sense? Did I go too fast? We should be able to say this, I have enough growth, I've grown enough in the Lord that my growth will help me to flee some things. How many of us have fled from some things in our past? How many have said, Pastor, there have been some people that I had to flee from? Because if I had stayed with those folk, they would have defiled me. You know, I would not be able to follow the Lord if I'd have stayed in that relationship. There have been some places that I've had to flee. There have been some things that I've had to flee. All right? And so when you grow in the Lord, your growth gives you strength to flee from some things. Correct? And so what Paul is saying is before you can actually follow the Lord, you need to make sure that you've removed yourself from some things that will defile you. That comes first. That comes first. I remember when I said yes to the Lord early on in my Christian life, I was a young fellow, and I began to say yes, Lord, and yes, Lord, and yes, Lord. Every time I would say yes to something, there was something else I had to say no to. How many of you had that experience? Huh? We need to have, listen, look up here for a second, church. We need to be reminded of these great truths because we're living in a world that is so anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-morality. That if we're not reminded, we just go along with the flow. And before you know it, our Christianity is nominal. It's name only. We don't want to have that kind of Christianity where we're name only. You know, I mean, we want to be genuine. We want to have the real thing, right? In order to have that, we must, of course, according to this text, flee. We now have the power and character to run away. How about that? Think about that young man Joseph in the Bible, one of my all-time favorite Bible characters. Right? You remember the story where he was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife came and seduced him to sin. You know what he did? He fled. He fled. In fact, he ran away and he left his shirt in her hand. I commend him for that. Right? That's an awesome testimony, and I appreciate that testimony from Joseph. So we need to do the same thing, youthful lust. And then he says this, he says, then you need to follow. That's the message. Look at it again, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow, and I would say follow after. And he gives a list of things. So what are we to follow after? And I like this, pay attention to this. I'm so glad the Lord gives us a list of items, so that way we don't have to have our own arbitrary list. Right? If I were to say to you, so how would you identify a spiritual Christian? What are some of the things you believe a spiritual Christian ought to exemplify? You'd have your own list. If I were to say to you, so how would you measure, right now, take out a piece of paper, don't do it, but write down for me how you would measure spirituality in a person's life. You'd have your list. Right? I'm glad the Lord kind of says, I don't trust your list. right? Because what would work for one may not work for another. And so you got your list and I got my list, and we're supposed to be the same following Jesus, but we look so different. No, the Lord says this: even though you have individuality and an individual personality, when it comes to following me, followers must look like this. Amen. We are to be Christians or Christ-like. Amen. Right? And the only way, Donald, we can be Christ-like is to know what Christ was like. Amen. Makes sense, right? And so Paul says this: you need to flee youthful lust, the things that so used to easily beset you. And aren't you glad I didn't bring up some of those things? And I'm not going to tell you what mine were. Maybe I'll tell you what Donna's were. No, we won't. You don't want to hear that. That list is so small, it's non-existent almost. But flee and then follow. Follow after what? And he gives us this list, and he begins with this word. Look at the word righteousness. Right? You guys fall asleep up there? There you go. You've got to remind him every once in a while, stay with me. We are to follow after righteousness. Let's talk about that for a second. Think about that for a second. Right? So how do we define that word? Let's get non-confrontational and let's get very classroom-like for a moment. Can we do that? So how am I supposed to do something that I don't know what it is? So what does that mean? Paul says, follow after righteousness. But did your Bible come with a commentary? Does it have a description underneath of your Bible? And some study Bibles may. But what the point I'm trying to make is it doesn't come with commentary. So you got to then pause and say, so what does that mean? If I'm supposed to follow after that, if I'm supposed to follow, what does that mean? How do I do that? What does that look like? Somebody say yes. Amen. Right? So if I were to say to you, are you following after biblical righteousness, how would you answer? Well, if you've done a study, you know what that word means. You'd say, yeah, I understand what that means, Pastor. I'm trying to do my best. But some of us would say, I have no idea. I don't know what that means. So what is Paul saying here? Well, if we were to just break down, I'm trying to be real simple with this. If we break down that word righteousness there, it simply means this. It refers to having right behavior. Amen. Right behavior. That was deep, wasn't it? Huh? In fact, it says there, if you remember the text in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, I like this. Paul says this. He gives instruction on how we ought to behave ourselves. Did you ever read that? How we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Right? So the Bible gives us the instruction we need on how to rightly behave ourselves. So Paul says this. We need to follow after righteousness. I'd say it this way. The Christian life, pay attention to this. The Christian life is not come see, come say. It's not arbitrary. It's not how you see it. Are you with me? It's not based upon my own criteria. No. No, the Christian life comes with a set of guidelines. And I hate this word. Standards. Or behaviors, or boundaries. Help me here. So that way we can't say, well, I'm a Christian, and this is the way I want to live. No. If you're a Christian, you got to live this way. And I don't have the time to develop all that means, but it's just the foundation, right? It's the foundation. And when you live according to the Bible standard, the Bible's boundaries, the Bible's instructions, the Bible's guidelines, when you live accordingly, right, then you are living the Christian life. The Christian life. By the way, we're not to be self-righteous. We don't establish our own standard of righteousness. That's faulty. Right? Because then, if I were to establish my own standard of righteousness, there's some people that I would love and there's some people that I wouldn't. There's some days when I would be, you know, A game, some days when C game. Are you with me? Yeah. No, it's all established based upon what God's word says. Amen. And I like what he said to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Listen to this. God speaking to the nation of Israel. He said, and now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, listen, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for, this is the best part, thy good. So when you do what he just told you to do, it's for my good, thy good, our good. When we follow the Lord, it's for our own benefit. In the New Testament, we read this, flip the screen, guys. We read this, 1 John 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And would you read that last part with me? His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. Huh? This is the love of God. This is what God desires for you and I, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments aren't burdensome. They're not overwhelming. No, they're for our good. They're for our good. So Paul says, in order to follow the Lord, you must first flee the things that will defile you, and then follow the things that, get this, the things that will develop you. You see the difference? We flee the things that will defile us, and then we follow the things that will develop us, and righteousness will develop us. But let's continue with the list. Look, he says in verse number 22 again, right, then what? Faith. So we're to follow righteousness, and then he adds to that list faith. That's an interesting word, right? Faith. Faith. And we can go a lot of different directions with that, but I believe in this text of Scripture, what Paul is saying is this. Faith is related to our concept of God. What is your concept of God? Think about it for a second. When you think about God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy, your concept of God. We said just a little bit ago, remember, how great is our God? How great is your God? Is he really Almighty God? Think about that word. Say it with me. Almighty God. That means he's got all might and all power. We believe that our God, theologically, Brother Tony, you're a student of God's Word. Theologically, we give to God all these wonderful attributes, all these names. We say that he is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. And not just everywhere, but everywhere at the same time. Hello? So that means today, open Bible, we don't have the commodity on God. He's here, but he's everywhere at the same time. He's at churches right now meeting in another state and in another country. He's in hospitals and prisons and rescue missions. He's in homes and bus depots and train stations and airports. He's everywhere at the same time. Why? He is Almighty God. That's a God that I serve. And then we say this, Tony. We say this, we say he's not only omnipresent, but he is omnipotent. He's what? He's all powerful. That means there's absolute positivity. Nothing our God can't do. He can do everything, anything, whenever he wants. He owns it all. It's all his. And he's got all power. That means he can touch any situation in your life and change it just like that. So when Paul says this, flee also youthful lust, follow after righteousness, and then faith, what he's saying is this, what is your, first and foremost, what is your concept of God? And I can go on with that list, but time's going to elude me. Maybe he's saying this, look here, listen to this. Do you trust him to do far more than you're able to do in your own strength? Huh? Oh, man, Pastor, I can't do that. I know you can't, but he can through you. Are you willing to trust him? Do you have that kind of faith? What is your concept of God, your idea of God? Do you have the kind of faith where you'll trust him enough to do for you, through you, with you, what you can't do in your own strength? Isn't that the kind of God we want to serve? Huh? Maybe Paul's saying this to Timothy. Is your God bigger than your problems? Huh? Is your God bigger than your problems? Does your God answer prayer? Does your God make your bed in sickness? Does your God show up in times of grief? Huh? Faith. Add to, you know, your faith, Peter said. But you got to first have it. Right? Follow after faith, man. Just keep your concept of God right. But it also might imply faithfulness. Faithfulness. Right? And we should be pursuing faithfulness as Christians. And that means this: we're trustworthy and reliable. I was having a conversation this morning, pay attention to this, with one of our church leaders, leads one of our ministries here. And we're just chatting, standing at the back of the church, just kibitzing for a little bit, and got to talking about ministry, and the subject came up to where, Pastor, it's just so hard to get people committed today to serve God. To show up when there's... Oh, you just turned me off. I just heard the switch go click. To show up when they're supposed to show up. I'm stuck. It's just so hard today to get people to do what they say they're going to do. Hello? You know what I found out? It's easy to disappoint an invisible. You know? And I don't think we realize that when we say, hey, Brother Tyler, I'm going to do this, you're not really doing this for Brother Tyler. You're doing this. So Paul says this, if you're going to follow, make sure you follow after faith and be faithful, be trustworthy and reliable. That's all throughout the Bible. In fact, let's get rid of the Bible. Look here, I grew up in a family where we needed to be, if I said I was going to do it, I needed to do it. There used to be a time in America where you were held accountable at your job, at school. There was a time in America where, you know, the chickens didn't rule. Huh? I mean, things are just mixed up. And now that post-COVID comfort zone has entered into life, and now you can't get anybody committed to anything. And everywhere you go, from McDonald's to high corporations, they're looking for employees. Huh? Isn't it great? We have two vice president and an ex-president that work for McDonald's. Isn't that wonderful? They know how to make French fries. Isn't that great? And by the way, let me just say, I'm putting it on record. McDonald's has great French fries. They really do. They're healthy, too. It's potatoes. When somebody gives you a job, can you be counted on? With me? See, we're talking about discipleship. And that's why Jesus said this. Remember the beginning message? He lays out the foundation and he says, let me just tell you up front, it's going to cost you something. There's a cost involved. If you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you something. Right? It's not at your convenience. It's not when you can. Right? No, if you say yes, then it's going to cost you something. Well, Paul says the same thing. You know, you need to flee and then follow righteousness. You need to have that right kind of behavior and then that faith. Your concept of God is to the point where it causes you to live in a special way, in a certain way, in a faithful way. And then he adds to the list another word. He uses the word charity. Charity. That's a Bible word, charity. That's a good Bible word, right? You know what I think about when I hear the word charity? What do you think about? I was thinking giving. But that's okay. Because that's what we've done. We've taken the word charity and we've given it a modern slant, love. But you know, love sometimes is just a word. Huh? That's why when you read in the King James Bible, it uses the word charity because it's action. Yes. Our love should take on action. Action, right? For God so loved the world that he gave, right? And so what he's saying here in this text of Scripture for us is simply this, that our love needs to become more than a word. If we're going to follow him, we need to follow after charity. We need to be giving. I think by nature we are selfish and, self-consumed at times. Charity requires that we take the focus off ourselves, and it also enables us to invest in others. Amen. I like that. I like investing in others. And then finally, look here. He says in verse number 22, he says, add peace. Follow after peace. Peace. And then notice this. Notice the network. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you know what he's saying there? In other words, pay attention here. He's saying this. It's got to start at home. He's speaking about the brethren. Right? So follow peace. In other words, he's saying, be peaceful amongst yourselves. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Be peaceful. Hey, if you're a visitor today, we're so glad you're here. And I want to tell you this as the pastor of this church, and I'm an honest guy. I'm transparent, more transparent than I should be. But I will tell you this. You won't find a whole lot of nonsense here at Open Bible.
Amen.
You just won't. You know, I'm not saying there's not some, but there's not a lot. There's not a lot of drama here. People genuinely care for each other here.
Amen.
And if they don't, we kick them out. We don't tolerate it. Huh? And then we put up their picture in the lobby and say, stay away from them. Troublemakers. No, I'm serious. We don't have a lot of that here. People genuinely care for each other. People say it all the time. Boy, I visited the Open Bible. It was just so friendly and I felt so welcome. And it's genuine. It's not a put on. Right? We've learned how to live peaceably with each other. And that's important. That's what we ought to do as Christians. It's not about squabbling. It's not about having your own way. It's not about, I can't wait to get into that meeting and give him a piece of my mind. Where'd you adopt that attitude at? It's not Bible. Huh? See, the human way of dealing with conflict is to nurse hurt feelings. Hello? Oh, we pamper our feelings. We nurse our hurt feelings. That's the human way. Right? That's not the God way. The human thing to do, spread gossip, demand your own rights. And you know what that creates? It creates conflict. Right? Yeah, wars begin. You know, you got these own little personal wars going on. This brother against that brother, and this sister against that sister, and this family against that family. That ought not be in church, correct? And I'm glad to tell you that. We don't. If we have it here, I don't know anything about it, and don't you tell me about it. I want to know about it. I want to believe when I go to sleep, everybody's good. Everybody loves each other. Amen? God's way? God's way is to seek reconciliation, extend forgiveness, be kind, tender-hearted. That's God's way. So I wanted to conclude our discipleship month with something extremely practical. And that was for you and I to understand there are some things in our Christian lives that we're going to have to stay away from. We're going to have to flee, run away from. But then there's some things we ought to follow, and this is just a condensed list, summary, summation. I can give you more and more, but this is all that Paul gives us here in this text. But there's other texts we can go to. I like what he said in Romans chapter 12. Paul said this to the church in Rome, verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Look here. It's okay to back away. It's okay, listen to this, it's okay not to have the last word. Huh? You can have the last thought, but you don't have to have the last word. Keep it in. Did you ever hear this statement? There are some hills that I am just not going to die on. Huh? That's good advice to you husbands. There's some hills that you ought not die on. Thank God she made you dinner.
Amen.
So watch, she forgot to put the salt in. And the potatoes. And the carrots. And the beef. And it was supposed to be stew. Thank God she gave you a bowl of gravy. Some hills just not worth dying on. We haven't learned that. Not as Christian. We haven't learned that. Not as churchmen. We haven't learned that because we think, man, we got to have our say. Final word. I don't like that song. I don't like that gospel track. I don't like. Who cares what you like? A few other 100 people here that might like it. Huh? I was listening to a couple of the songs, Aaron, that you selected for this morning. I listened to the second one. The first one was, I got it right here. First one was, to God be the glory. We've been singing that song. I've been singing that song. I've been saved for 40 years. I've been singing that song for 40 years. Right? I close my eyes, wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. To God be the glory, great things He hath done, so loved He that He... Right? But you know what? He followed it up with holy forever. How in the world would you find fault with that song unless you just don't know it? And you don't want to take the time to learn it. And so because it's something that we haven't sang for 40 years, we're going to find fault with it. And that's where the trouble lies. It's within me. I found the enemy. Guess who it is? It's you. No, it's me. It's me. It's me. We are our worst enemy. Huh? So I don't know who wrote that song. I have no clue. But because it wasn't written 150 years ago, I'm going to X it out. Because God no longer uses young men, young women, contemporaries to write songs. Really? Huh? God's not gifting people. He only gifted them back then? Come on now. See, but that's where wars start. They call them worship wars. Look here. If it be possible, it is possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That means this. I don't have to like it all. Look here. Yesterday, I'd have rather had cheesesteaks rather than hot dogs. But just be honest with you. Huh? I'm trying to watch my diet. I'd rather have a cheesesteak. You get what I'm trying to say, right? But I'll tell you, man, I was overwhelmed by watching Mr. Smith make 400 hot dogs. And then look at me and say, they're all gone. I'm glad because last year he said, we got a few left. We're going to have to eat them. That's awesome. Not about me. Not even about you. It's about him. It's about him. So Paul says this in this text, you need to follow after. And what a wonderful list he gives to us. It all boils down to this. Flip it, fellas. Flee the things that will defile you. Follow the things that will develop you. Right? Go back, if you would, and I'm finished, but go back to verse 20. And look what he says. He said, in a great house. In other words, we can say this. In a large house. In a big house. That's all that means. Right? He says, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of what? What earth? Some to honor, some dishonor. In other words, this. Look here. You go over somebody's house, and they have all kinds of different, you know, utensils and bowls and dishes. Right? Some for honor. Some we use, pay attention right here. Some we use for everyday eating, but some we set aside for special occasions. Huh? Right? You know, I go home today, I might get paper plate. Doesn't matter to me. It's what's on the plate.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Hello? If it was paper, it was empty paper plate. What am I supposed to use this as a frisbee? Right? No. But isn't it true? And we have the guest over. She's bringing out the good stuff. Huh? Bringing out the good stuff. Right? So here's what Paul is saying. Because, you know, a lot of the Bible is metaphoric. Right? And so Paul is saying this. You know, in God's economy, right, there are just some common things, and then there are some special occasions. And when you flee the things that will defile you and follow the things that will develop you, you are now available to be used by God for special. Man, I want to be a vessel fit for His use. Right now, special occasion. I'm preaching God's word. Just a little bit ago, there's a group of people up there, special occasion. They're singing about the Lord. Just before that, there's people over in that building over there teaching little boys and girls all the way up to senior citizens the Word of God. That's especially, why? Because you've fled from some things and you're following some things and you've made yourself available for a special occasion. The use of Almighty God. See how that works? Doesn't get any better than that. Not in my world. Be a vessel of honor. So how do I do that? Flee and follow. Flee and follow. Amen? Well, that concludes our series on discipleship. I really hope that you got something from it and that you've been drawn closer to Him. And it's your desire to follow Him. Follow Him. Follow Him.
If you haven't done so already, please fill out a digital connection card so we know how to better serve you this week. For encouragement throughout your week, you can listen to past sermons by searching Open Bible Baptist Church on the Apple Podcasts or Google Play Store. If you'd like to give today, you can give online at openbiblenj.org. Thanks again for joining us today. We'll see you on the next broadcast.